Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world.
Hello, this is the Florida Aviation Network, and I'm Walt Schammel. We're broadcasting live and in the clear for the 40th year celebration of Sun and Fun from the Florida Air Museum in Lakeland, Florida. Our guest today is Lee Lauterbach, president of Stallion 51 in Kissimmee, Florida. Lee, understand you fly the P-51, and that this is not only our 40th anniversary for Sun and Fun, but it's also the 100th anniversary of air combat.
Walt, exactly right. It's a very little known fact that air combat actually started 100 years ago. And if I have my facts right, it was in an original Jenny. And the first shots that were fired aircraft to aircraft trying to take the other guy down was with a rifleman in the back. And I'm not sure of the outcome, but what a novel concept of doing that. And if you fast forward to today of like the F-22 Raptor, gosh, it has come a long way, air-to-air combat. It is amazing.
Somebody had to go and ruin our safety record right there. Well, you're the president of Stallion 51 Corporation. What is that?
Well, Stallion 51 was originally incorporated in 1987, and we came out originally doing work for the Navy Test Pilot School in Patuxent River, Maryland, doing what they call qualitative evaluations. So we were in the test pilot world a lot, learned a lot about the airplane, and because of that, we actually developed a checkout training program that took a lot of the knowledge that we learned about the airplane and to transfer to other people learning to fly the airplane or flying the airplane already. So that was sort of the origination of Stallion 51. And today we do a lot of we do the majority of the checkout training work. If you were to buy an aircraft, a P-51, and say, hey, I will insure it, the chances are the insurance company will direct you to us and recognize our program. And if you're a graduate, you have a high standard that you're going to be just really do well in the airplane.
Well, as with transitioning into any different airplane, it's always a challenge the first few hours. You mentioned that you'd been working in a Stallion 51 Corporation, but that you actually started in 1966 at the Kissimmee Airport. How much has that changed over the years?
Oh, gosh. Well, really, when you talk about change, I first soloed powered airplanes in 1966, and it wasn't too long ago I saw a picture of myself on Kissimmee Airport, and it was just a little Quonset hut. It was a former military airport, as you're aware, and so a little Quonset hut, obviously no tower or anything, back in the back country of Kissimmee, Florida, almost dirt roads going to it. I remember Paragators, which was a jump school, was on the east side, and that was about it. Fast forward to today, and you're talking ILS and FBOs and hangars and corporate and flight schools, and gosh, it's come a long way, and just a great airport to operate out of. Very, very convenient for Disney World. You know, we get a lot of the Disney traffic and convention traffic, and so it's become a major airport in the Orlando metropolitan area.
Real convenient to have that airport right outside the Disney main gate.
Yes, it is.
You're also doing some of the Air Force Heritage flights. Tell us about those.
We are, Walt. Of all the things I get to do in flying the Mustang, United States Air Force Heritage Flight is probably the most special. And in 1997, Air Force leadership sort of pushed out with the concept of their heritage. And as we were talking about air combat and how it's come in 100 years, to recognize how far the United States Air Force has come since their first aircraft. And so they decided to allow formation of aircraft, for example, like the P-51 Mustang, the P-38 Lightning, which you'll see today, and P-47, some of the iconic World War II airplanes that really made such a contribution to winning the war, and then stepping it up to airplanes like the F-4 Phantom, which we flew many years with, obviously the A-10, the F-16, the F-15 Eagle, and now state-of-the-art F-22 Raptor. And one of the real special things today that I get to do is we'll do a three-ship. I'll have the lead in the P-51 Mustang. There'll be a P-38 Lightning just off my left wing, and then there'll be an F-22 Raptor out on the right wing. And so we'll do several passes and tell the story about Air Force heritage and just how far it's come.
I've seen your demonstration flight, and it's quite something to look at the different generations of the airplanes up to modern times, if you will. What about your campus of higher learning?
Well, the campus of higher learning was sort of coined by one of our marketing people, KT Jones, and to remind us to set a higher standard in training. And for an example, if you come to Stallion 51, you're sort of going to graduate with a master's degree. This isn't an introduction to the Mustang. It is truly dissecting the airplane, its performance capabilities, a lot of ground school about systems, maintenance pre-flight. And so it's a 5-day course. And if you graduate, passing grade kind of thing, a high standard, then you'll get graduation patch and be recognized throughout the world, for that standard.
You always make me smile when you say a 5-day course, because I know that's 5 days, 5 nights, and a little bit in between. There's a lot of work that goes on in learning that airplane.
There is.
But you also do a lot of unusual attitude flight training. And I know that's some of the buzzwords the airlines have today, and they're running all their pilots through that because it's becoming a critical part of the airline training portion. But you're doing it with corporate pilots. How does that work?
Well, pushing back into the Mustang side, we had actually developed, because of the performance characteristics of the Mustang are so good. The airplane is an 8 positive G airplane, 4 negative G airplane. Its top end is actually 440 knots. So it gives you a very, very wide envelope to allow trainees to make mistakes and not push a safety limit. And so we've been doing that for quite a few years in the P-51 of all things, but realizing that in most cases it's sort of apples to oranges. The corporate guys who really haven't had a lot of high performance maneuvering experience go to flight safety every year. Sort of the scope of their unusual attitude training is in a simulator. And to be quite honest, there's some things in life you just can't simulate. And I think unusual attitude training is one of those things. I could probably come up with a few other examples, but I'll not go there today. So anyhow, we actually have a very, very highly modified turbofan airplane and full glass cockpits, and it's set up just for that kind of business. So it's got power just like a corporate airplane or an airline airplane. It's got speed brakes or spoilers just like an airplane. Great camera system. So we've really upped the scale on unusual attitude training, and it's an FAA recognized program. It's an IFR section, and then through a curtain system we actually pull it over the head of the rear seater in the front, so you can't even see out. So it's now just you and the instruments. And to quote one of the guys that came in, a corporate guy, came in, put both hands on the table and go, "I just want to go on record. I don't want to be here." 2 days later, he was one of the biggest advocates of unusual attitude training in the world. And so it's a great thing. As you said, the NTSB has been recognizing or endorsing that for a while. The FAA is engaged now in unusual attitude training. And it's going to be a great thing that will enhance safety of corporate and airlines in the future.
I kind of grew up in the days of the old round engines, and frankly, you just can't beat the sound of a round engine and the big puff of oil smoke coming out the back when it starts. But the P-51 has its own unique sound with that 12-cylinder engine. And then you got into the turbine, and you didn't say you were going to fly an L-39.
Well, As I said, it's a very, very highly modified airplane. And if you looked at it, it is so different than the normal L-39 that you just go like, what's that? And but a great training platform, very reliable, works very, very well. And so we offer the ability to do the unusual attitude training, the VFR side in the Mustang today, sort of as a fun adventure, but the IFR side is definitely in the jet.
What about the T6? Do you check people out on the T6?
We do. We found that a lot of the guys coming in, as you're aware, tailwheel skills are getting to be a little bit more difficult to find in today's aviation community. And so a guy will come in with virtually no tailwheel skills and looking to buy a Mustang or already owns a Mustang. And so the T6, believe it or not, is still a good stepping stone aircraft for entry level into the Mustang. We may take a guy from a Decathlon to the Texan to the Mustang, and it's a great way progressively to get him up there to learn sort of the directional skill set that he'll need for the Mustang.
Do you have set times in the T6, or do you just go to proficiency and then move on?
Proficiency. Virtually our whole program, Walt, through the T6 checkout training program or the immersion program for that to the Mustang, is all based on proficiency. So if you bring in a good skill set, you may be able to get through the Mustang in short order. If we're still trying to just keep you on the center line of the runway, training may go on for a little while.
You talked about the different airplanes and all the training you do, but can I come out to the airport and get just a flight with you and see the countryside as well as experience the P-51?
Well, you hit the key, because we kid around, hey, can I get a ride to Mustang? And the answer sort of is like, no, but you can fly the airplane. The airplanes that we have are dual cockpit, dual controlled, and that allows us to allow you to actually fly the airplane probably about 90% of the time. So you're with a very, very highly qualified instructor, and we'll talk you through a lot of the maneuvers, and not uncommon at all to even let you come in and do the landing. So it's a 1 hour sort of a almost page one of the syllabus in checkout training, and to go up sort of experience the sights, the sounds, the feel of the airplane. So it really allows you to not go for a ride, but to actually fly the airplane as much as you're comfortable doing.
I know a few years ago they changed the airspace around Orlando. Did that have any effect on you?
Walt, we've really had a treasure. We do a lot of work with the military, as you know, with the Air Force Heritage Flight Program, the Navy, and we sort of been able to utilize a lot of the military airspace, not officially, but when the military isn't in there dropping bombs and shooting guns, we're in there dropping pizzas and writing letters. But we get a lot of our work is done in the restricted areas, and when they're cold, and in the military operational areas. So it's treasured airspace. There are no airline traffic going through, like no corporate. It's designed for that specific purpose. So it's one of the treasures of flying out of Kissimmee for us is that airspace. And we just have a great relationship with the guys, and they do such a great job down there at Avon.
Great. I know that bombing range out there is a pretty fair-sized one.
It is.
Well, Lee, we're so glad you could be with us this time and celebrate 40 great years of sun and fun with us. And thank you for joining us at the Florida Aviation Network. And I'm Walt Schammel, and I'm going to see you next time.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website to hear past programs.